You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. This is Melting Pot, and it is my great pleasure to welcome our guests here today. The Boogaloo Assassins are in the studio. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Pretty great. Good, man.
Great.
Okay, they are going to do a little interview with us and perform several songs, and actually we're just going to throw it over them for a performance. Here now are the Boogaloo Assassins on KPFK.
Para todas las abuelas, ¿ok? Ok. Everybody happy.
Y entiende, y si comprendes, ven aquí, que necesito así.
just heard the Boogaloo Assassins performing live here in our studio. And thanks so much to you guys for coming in and spending a little time with us and bringing us this sound, man. A lot of people in the know kind of know this sound, this kind of mid-60s, late-60s kind of Latin sound. And so maybe they kind of expect to hear all these different sounds mixed up together. But for a lot of people, especially I think on the West Coast, since Boogaloo started up in kind of the East Coast and New York especially, it might be a little bit of a surprise. So can you tell me a little bit about how you guys found your way, how you found your way together, and also how you found your way to these kinds of sounds?
Well, I'll start then. I'm originally from the East Coast, so coming from a Latino and a black background, I heard salsa, and I would hear black music at home, along with a lot of other things. But, you know, that's how it started with me, is hearing that stuff as a little kid, you know, especially Sunday mornings when my mom was cleaning the house, and I'd hear Celia Cruz and Johnny Pacheco, you know. Then my dad would play the Commodores, you know, and listen to, you know, jazz. So it's always been around the house. We moved to the West Coast, you know, I've always listened to it, you know. So, just something that's always been at the house, you know what I mean? So playing around L.A. for a long time and meeting Bill and getting to know Richie, you know, these guys had a love for it too. Not just this music, but music, and then finding out that they really love this Latin sound as well. So,
Yeah, for me as well. This is Richie talking now. I grew up as a an LA native, you know, being from here. My mother's Puerto Rican, my father's Peruvian, and my mother always had music playing in the house, as like Chuck was describing. It was always a presence. There was always salsa. There was always music going on, period. And my mother moved to New York when she was very young, so she heard all the groups. You know, I've played my mom the recordings that we've done lately, and the look in her eyes was pretty amazing, you know, watching her go like, oh, I know this sound, like, you know. So, yeah, it was always something I grew up with listening to, you know, and similarly, like Chuck said, yeah, playing around L.A. and knowing a bunch of different musicians out here and playing in different groups. I caught wind of the group through my boy Billy Goods, who brought me in to play Guido for some songs and like sit in with the group. And we gelled, you know. I met Bill and the rest of the guys, and you know, we hit it off in terms of having just a profound love for this type of music and this expression. And then we got to know each other and we became friends, and you know, it makes it that much better. And so now I'm in the mix, so to speak.
We're happy you're here. These
cats. Now, was it, because I know that a lot, I mean, one it's a really big group, like Bill, Rich, and Charles are talking to us on mic right now, but there's a big group. There's a lot of people. I don't know how we fit everybody in to our studio. It's a big group, big sound. And you guys, from what I'm aware of, played in a variety of different groups, not all of which had like straight Latin kind of backgrounds, like, you know, some kind of like some ska bands, some, I think even like some punk leaning bands, some other, like a whole lot of different sounds. And like, was it a situation where you guys kind of started meeting each other and felt like you wanted to come up with this particular kind of band, or was it kind of just like this organic process of started becoming friends and then like the sound just kind of developed? I'm just wondering like how you got to kind of this sound.
Yeah, it's kind of a coincidence. This is Bill speaking, piano player. Chuck and I were in a reggae band together, a traditional Jamaican ska and rock steady and reggae group that was sort of a band that had been around for years in L.A. called Ocean 11. And I was invited to play piano, and Chuck was singing some songs. And just at rehearsal one day, on break, I went into a Montuno, which is the Cuban-style piano patterns that happen over and over again. Mm-hmm. And we just started talking about, oh, I love that music. Oh, I dig it too. And we had never played in bands that played Latin music. And just from that discussion, he started having people over to his pad for completely informal jams. I mean, we didn't know what we were doing, and we just started, you know, week by week, somebody else would stop by, somebody else would stop by. And after a couple months of jamming and working on tunes, we realized we kind of have a band. We have the, you know, the starting of a band here. Mm. And originally we were wide open to kind of different Cuban music styles, but older. It was always from a point of view of older stuff, you know, the 60s era. And Boogaloo was one of the things that we also had in common, like, oh, I love Boogaloo records too. And so we started throwing in Boogaloo songs into the mix. And like, for me, the way I came to this music was I didn't grow up with it. I was studying, I was like a blues player, jazz player a little bit, and would listen to these comps, like Ubiquiti used to put out these Latin jazz comps, and Discarga was a website that had old comps of Boogaloo records. And I just started getting into it that way, from jazz, like from American Boogaloo, like Lou Donaldson, Alligator Boogaloo, those kind of records.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what's this Latin Boogaloo?
Yeah.
What's this other Boogaloo they're talking about? And I fell in love with it. And then it was cool that we ended up, you know, ended up meeting other dudes who also liked it. So there wasn't a master plan. It kind of fell together over a period of months.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, it's a, if you think about kind of, and you guys started getting together like around 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's about the period of time where you start getting this kind of, or at least what felt kind of like a movement of like retro soul artists and a lot of them really starting to get, a good bit of exposure around 2007, 2008. It's when Amy Winehouse hit big, and then people really started paying attention to Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and a lot of other kind of soul bands came out. And to me, and hearing your sound and knowing as a DJ, you know, those records and just like dynamite soul that's on those records, like it makes perfect sense for somebody to have gone like, man, you know, we really should have a band that plays that kind of, like, nobody's playing that.
Mm.
And so it's interesting that it wasn't kind of like a master plan kind of moment, like we should do this, you know, this kind of, nobody's doing this kind of thing. And so it's really interesting to me that it just kind of sprang up organically, though a lot of you have been playing in bands that had this kind of, I wouldn't say like completely retro feel. Like I feel like a lot of the third wave ska bands in California had a little bit more reverence for original Jamaican ska than some of the other bands around the country or in other places. And so it seems like a natural kind of fit. And that was one of the things also I was really interested in terms of playing this music that is kind of dislocated in a couple ways. Like it's from a different time period. It's also something that was primarily based on the other side of the country as opposed to California. And one of the things I was wondering just is kind of the, I wouldn't say like difficulties of playing this style that in some ways is out of its time. At the same time, it's totally a great sound and works so well right now. But kind of that kind of, if you could speak to that, how it is playing this sound kind of out of a scene, and kind of out of the moment. At the same time, it's kind of in the moment for you guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember hearing Acid, Ray Barreto's Acid, and wanting to, that album changing my life because I wanted to have a band that did that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And then me and Bill had talked a lot about it being out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But we just said we were going to do it, you know, let's go for it. I mean, we practiced a lot back in the early days. And then my dad would show up to, because he used to be a percussionist, and he would kind of coach us because we wanted to get the sound right. And it took a lot of work, but, you know, it wasn't too difficult, just a lot of work.
Mm.
You know, we were definitely out of our comfort zone, and it's still a lot of work. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a lot of work, and that's one of we have this camaraderie with each other, which is really good. Which in other bands, I've had the I've had a different experience, you know, in terms of wanting to work at it and wanting to just learn it and be like, you know, some people are like, okay, the record, that's not how that goes on the record. Like the record mm-hmm. doesn't do that. Say if we're doing a cover, you know, and other folks are like, well, that's okay. Like we're gonna make it our own, you know. So you have this, you know, people giving and people not giving, or people being like, you know, purist about it and whatnot. And it's really cool because, like you're saying, it's an organic thing. People are just, you know, we're learning, we're trying our best, and I'm lucky that you know these cats have let me in, because I'm heavy kind of on the purist side, mm. but I do also have a, you know, a side to me that's like, yeah, we can just do whatever we want. I had the, you know, the fortunate and the blessing that was brought to me was being able to study with Francisco Aguabella while he was living out here, and, you know, God rest his soul. So I learned a lot of heavy stuff from him, you know, in terms of the Cuban percussion and whatnot, and what it really means to be kind of true to what you're doing. But I love the fact that we can take this music and make it our own, because boogaloo as a genre is really kind of, it's open, you know. Mm. It encompasses Latin soul, it encompasses, you know, funk and stuff like that, yeah. you know, for us, which all of us love as well. So, it's really cool. And go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, no, it was interesting when we got started. Like you said, there was no scene per se. We came from different scenes. Mm-hmm. Like the traditional Jamaican scene was where some of the guys in the band were from. But we didn't jump into the Los Angeles Latin music scene, like salsa clubs or those things. One of the guys in the band, Bobby Soul, he's booked talent down in Orange County at a place called Continental Room, and he was a DJ and a huge fan of this style. And mm-hmm. so before he's now a singer in the band, but originally he was one who gave us our first bookings down there, and we just were trying this to see what would happen. You know, each gig we wondered if we would, you know, be around for the next gig, and the response immediately was really strong, really powerful. We played a little bit more Latin jazz back then. Some of those tunes fell by the wayside as we realized this is really a party band situation. It's a dance band, mm-hmm. is what it quickly evolved into, and we were doing covers back then, and then over time we've brought in our own takes on covers or in originals now.
One of the things you guys performed earlier, speaking of covers, is a cover of a song that you wouldn't think would be with a Latin group, which is Don Penn's No, No, No. And it also, you know, kind of the flip side of what I was thinking about around, you know, kind of retro bands, that a lot of times there is this great kind of reverence and a lot of purist elements in those kinds of styles that... that they would never dream of covering that kind of song and trying to make it their own and fit it to a different style. It seems also kind of that there's also this, I don't know, kind of like liberating aspect to not being within that scene, or being in like a really big scene that has these really strong conventions and rules, so that you're really in it, and instead you're kind of, you know, able to play around with things in a different way. Maybe you could speak a little bit about that, because that certainly seems, I mean, just that choice, that was one of those things that I remember a friend of mine, Oliver Wang, who does soulsides.com, talking about you guys from several years ago and mentioning that you guys did that song, and I was like, I would never see that. First off, it's way slow, let alone be in a totally different genre. I was like, I gotta hear this. You know, could you just say something about how kind of being where you're at right now also gives you a lot more freedom, maybe than a lot of other bands who do similar things, though, in different styles.
Yeah, man, Oliver's great, man. He came to our house, or my house. I call it our house. We're at my house a lot, you know, rehearsing and stuff. And, we had done No, 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 and that was, I think, Billy's suggestion, right, mm-hmm. to do No, No, No. And it just made sense. Like, mm-hmm. it, like... to all of us, like when he just said it, everybody's like, let's try it. There was no like, oh, there's no way we could, you know, pull that off or whatever. We just tried it and did it, and it came out pretty cool.
Yeah.
It came out pretty cool. We've finally recorded it. We're working on mixing these tracks that we recorded. No being one of them. It's really cool that we can just there's a lot of ideas that come out like that. One of them was trying to do Can't Get Next to You, right? There's a lot of tracks that come out like that, mm-hmm. That people just throw out, and it's open like that at our rehearsals and practices and stuff. People just voice whatever they think. Some of it gets shot down, of course, but a lot of it is, it's pretty cool. Like where everybody seems to be pretty open to just kind of going for it because we're creating a sound, you know.
We're lucky in that Boogaloo itself is a hybrid genre. You know, it was back in the day, and they were stealing from each other and from American R&B, but with very traditional Latin band lineup. So we're kind of playing with that. I guess No. It's like a dance floor classic that we all know so well. Whether you're from the reggae scene, we got two or three guys who DJ regularly in the group, and so it's just this tune that without thinking it was like you said, Billy, I think, said, why don't we try this? We tried it as a mambo, and it actually worked, and thought, yeah, that did need reinvention, you know? So we're still playing with trying to reinvent things and be true to the way those tunes, like if that tune, I think the original You Don't Love Me was 67, so imagine in 68 a Latin band covered it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of,
you know,
like
they're probably like, there might be.
Right,
some 45 out there somewhere, somebody covering those tracks.
Sure,
you know, when you run into things like, you know, like Latin or kind of like Latin soul versions of Eddie Bo songs from like Mexico or Colombia or something like that, and you're like, what the hell, how did this happen? But it is in the same respect, like you were saying, it's very true to kind of what the spirit of Boogaloo was all about bringing in all these different styles and what, you know, later became kind of the spirit with salsa as well, just that mix of styles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys are, Rich was just talking about this, about how you're finally putting some things down, recording some things.
Yep.
And so should we expect a physical recording from Boogaloo Assassins in the near future?
Yes.
Yeah, we certainly hope so.
Okay.
Certainly.
Because a lot of us have been waiting for this.
It's on its way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got some stuff in the can, and we got a few more in the pipeline. We're hoping 45 or maybe double 45 EP and, you know, possibly full length. I know that's a little vague, but it's the train has left the station.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
But you guys are still, is this something you're going to put out yourselves, or are you working with a label yet?
We're not working with a label, but we'll see. Maybe once we get a couple tunes where we want them, see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's also one of the things I was interested in, and in kind of, because you guys have been able to get on some pretty nice shows and kind of stay around, even though you don't have kind of that record label behind you pushing you or like that kind of thing. Has that been actually, like, I can think of a number of ways why, and actually I've talked to some other bands about this before, that, you know, there are a lot of good things about having, you know, a marketing department or even a little bit of money or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I would think at the same time, it must be kind of freeing to just do this music yourselves and kind of do all these things yourselves. Like, well, how's that experience been?
It's been pretty cool. I like that freedom, and I like being able to, for the group as a whole, to be able to make the decisions, you know, as a whole, and just kind of move the way we want to.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is a little bit of a slight downside, because it's like you miss the support that you could have from, say, a label or somebody kind of pushing you.
Money too.
Yeah. Go there. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, we're hoping to change, you know, things in that sense as well. Right.
Yeah, I mean, the process is slower this way.
Yeah.
You know, but we, we'll see. You know, we're definitely the thing that a marketing department or, you know, distribution brings is a valuable thing, mm-hmm. you know, for a group mm-hmm. of our size where we're trying to make all these decisions.
Especially of our size, yeah.
I think we've been really fortunate and blessed to still be around and to play the shows that we played without having a product out there. I mean, we get to go to New York and play the old Village Gate, and Fania had us out, and mm-hmm. Joe Cuba's Widow was there. That was like...
That was nice.
That was nice, and yeah, if we would have stopped right there, it would have been worth the whole...
It was
you know
cool,
what I mean?
Yeah.
To
a lot of the legends were in the house. Joe Bataan was there. Larry Sammy Harlow Ayala. Was there.
Sammy Ayala was there, one of the original Cortijo y su Combo singers. Because everybody remembers Ismael Rivera and Maelo. Sammy Ayala was even right there in the beginning of the Cortijo y su Combo, which is old Puerto Rican, one of the first Puerto Rican groups that started playing bomba rhythms mm-hmm. and whatnot. But yeah, that was a great party.
That was great, and we had no product. And, you know, we're just starting on this product right now, you know, and to have everybody show so much love, and when are you guys coming back, you know, it's been a blessing. Yeah. You know, so...
Well, you know, it's a blessing just having you guys here as well and performing for us. I mean, I know there was it was difficult to try and get everybody in at the right time and work everything out, but again, you know, we're really thankful for having you guys here. In addition to the recordings that are ongoing and hopefully we'll get something out pretty soon from the group. What else you guys got coming up?
Yeah, we have the Mint, which we did a residency mm-hmm. at for about a year and a half, and one of our home bases, that's December 10th, a Saturday night.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. All right. And can we get you to do a couple more songs?
Absolutely.
Sure.
All right. All right. You've been listening to Chuck, Rich, and Bill from the Boogaloo Assassins. All the other boys in the band are here as well, and they're going to perform some more songs for you right now on KPFK and Melting Pot.
¿Cómo? ¡Qué rico!
It's voodoo.
You just heard the Boogaloo Assassins here on KPFK and Melting Pot. I cannot thank you guys enough for coming through. Thank you so much for coming through, guys.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. Pleasure.
And I can't wait. The vinyl. We want the vinyl.
Yeah,
double 45. Double 45.
180 gram 45.
Oh, man. That sounds so nice. That sounds so, so nice. I can't, you know, we're going to have a lot of people now have dreams of double 45s now in around their heads. And hopefully that'll be coming soon. And other good things from the Boogaloo Assassins. Thanks so much, guys, for coming through.
All right, man.
Thank you.